Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to take out your bulletin, and I want you to take a look at the cover on your bulletin. What a beautiful image that is. We see Jesus reclining at the table, surrounded by people who appear very comfortable in his presence. There's food on the table, there's conversation, there's warmth, welcome, fellowship. And at first glance, it simply looks like a pleasant meal among friends. Imagine yourself stepping into that picture. Where would you place yourself? Most of us would probably like to think that we belong at that table. We would like to imagine ourselves seated near Jesus, counted among his friends, enjoying his fellowship and listening to his words. Yet Matthew tells us something that changes this whole picture. The people at the table are not the respected leaders of Israel. They're not the religious elite. They're not the people others would have expected to find sitting with the holy teacher. They are the tax collectors and the sinners. And that detail changes everything. They are not seated there because they have earned the right to be there. They are seated there because Jesus has welcomed them. They are sinners. And that means that the people gathered around Jesus are people very much like us. Now, the tax collector struggled with greed. And we know how easily money can become a source of anxiety, of fear, and misplaced trust in our own lives. We worry about retirement accounts, rising prices, especially gas prices and food prices, medical bills, and, well, economic uncertainty. The temptation to trust in what we possess rather than in our Lord, who provides, and it's never that far away for us. The sinners gathered around the table, and they wrestled with temptation and failure. And so do we. We know the thoughts that we would rather not anyone else know, that we would rather keep hidden. We know the sins that continue to trouble our consciences. We know the words that we spoke in anger, the grudges that we hold, and the opportunities to love our neighbors that we simply have neglected. St. Paul summarizes it so simply in Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But not everyone sees it in that way. The Pharisees were also present that day, but they were not seated at the table. They were standing outside looking in. They were not concerned about their own sins. They were focused on the sins of everyone else. They ask, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Their question, however, reveals a much deeper problem. They have convinced themselves that they don't belong in the same category with those that are seated around Jesus. They believe that the problem is in there, in that room, in those people, and not in their own hearts. That temptation remains just as real for us today. It is always easier to identify the failures of others than to confront our own. We compare ourselves to people whose sin seems so much worse than ours and conclude that we're doing pretty well. We look at the addict and then we forget our own idols. We look at that angry person and forget our own bitterness. We look at the gossip and forget our own careless words. We look at that prodigal son and forget our own wandering hearts. Yet the scriptures leave no room for such comparisons. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not some, not most, all. The truth is that if a seat at Jesus' table depended upon our goodness, none of us would be there. We would all be standing outside that room. We would all be looking through the window. We would all be on the outside looking in. But that's not what we see. Instead, we see Jesus sitting among sinners. We see him welcoming them. We see him eating with them. And that is precisely what scandalized the Pharisees. In the ancient biblical world, sharing a meal was a sign of fellowship, of acceptance, of a relationship. Jesus was treating those sinners as if they belonged. And the remarkable thing is this, they did belong, not because of their worthiness, but because of Jesus' mercy. Notice what Jesus says when challenged about eating with sinners. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Jesus doesn't deny that these people are sinners. He doesn't excuse their behavior. He doesn't pretend that their sins do not matter. Instead, he explains why he has come. A doctor treats those who are sick. A shepherd seeks lost sheep. And a Savior comes for sinners. That is why Jesus called Matthew in the first place. Matthew was simply sitting at his tax booth when Jesus walked by and said, "Follow me." There was no long conversation or probationary period. There was no requirement for Matthew to clean up his life and prove himself worthy. Jesus called, and Matthew followed. Because that is how grace works. Jesus doesn't wait until we become worthy before he calls us. If he did, no one would ever hear his voice. Instead, he calls sinners. He forgives sinners. He transforms sinners. He creates faith where there was unbelief and life where there was death. So this meal at Matthew's house, this picture on the front of your bulletin, becomes a living picture of the gospel itself. It is a picture of what Jesus came to do for the entire world. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to welcome the outcast. He came to forgive the guilty. He came to restore those that are broken by sin. But this table points forward to another table. On the night before he was crucified, Jesus gathered his disciples together in the upper room. Around that table sat imperfect men. One would betray him. One would deny him. All the others would abandon him, yet Jesus welcomed them. He gave them bread and wine. He gave them his body and blood. He spoke words of forgiveness and promise. And then from that table, Jesus went to another place, not to a table covered with food, but to a cross covered with shame. There outside the city walls, Jesus took the place of every sinner who ever sat at Matthew's table. He took the place of every sinner gathered here today in our sanctuary. The greed, the lust, the anger, the selfishness, the worry, the pride, that judgmental spirit, all of it was laid upon him on the cross. The one who deserved the seat of honor took the place of the condemned. The one who knew no sin became sin for us. The one who should have been welcomed was rejected so that we who deserve to be rejected might be welcomed. This is why Jesus quotes Hosea and says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Ultimately, Jesus himself becomes the sacrifice through which God's mercy flows to the world. And then come Easter morning, The tomb was empty. Death was defeated. Our sin was forgiven. Jesus' sacrifice has been accepted. And one of the most beautiful details after the resurrection is this. Jesus continues to do what he has always done. He continues to welcome sinners. After the disciples spent a very fruitless night fishing on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus meets them on the shore. And what's waiting for them? A meal, breakfast. Once again, Jesus gathers his disciples around food. Once again, he welcomes those who have failed him. And once again, he restores and forgives. Because that's what Jesus does. He welcomes sinners. He welcomed Matthew. He welcomed Peter. He welcomed even Thomas. He welcomed tax collectors. He welcomed the outcasts of the world. And he welcomes you. So look again at your bulletin cover. The most important person at that table is not Matthew. It's not the tax collectors. It's not the sinners. It is Jesus. Jesus sits at the head of the table because Jesus is the host. And when Jesus is the host, everything changes. And that brings us to this table this morning. For that picture ultimately points beyond itself. It points here to the altar. Just as Jesus welcomed sinners to Matthew's table, he welcomed sinners to his table this morning. Here he is still the host. Here he still serves his people. He still gives mercy. He still forgives sins. And in just a few brief moments, we will come forward, not because we are worthy, but because we need what Christ alone can give. We come as sinners in need of forgiveness. We come as those who have fallen short. We come trusting not in ourselves, but in his promise. And what does he give us? His own body, his own blood. The very sacrifice that was offered on Calvary for the forgiveness of our sins. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there is a place for you at Jesus' table. Not because you have earned it. Not because you have finally gotten your life together. And not because your faith is perfect. There is a place for you at the table because Jesus has made a place for you at that table. He called Matthew. He called the sinners. He called you in holy baptism. And today he calls you once again. Come, take and eat, take and drink. Your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God that there is a place at his table for sinners like Matthew, like the tax collectors, like the outcasts. And thanks be to God that there is a place for you at his table for sinners, just like you and me. In Jesus' name, amen.